Hi, this is Rick Warren, and I'd like to talk to you about the importance of joining a local church as part of your spiritual growth. You know, there's often a lot of misunderstanding today about the church. We often hear sincere people, even people who are believers, make statements like, "You don't really need the church to be a good Christian," or, "All I need is Jesus. I don't need to go to church." Or you've probably heard, "The church is full of hypocrites, so who needs it?" Or even, "My church is the service that I watch on television." Many people associate the idea of churches with hierarchies and bureaucracies and man-made traditions. In fact, you might even hear somebody say, "I love Jesus, I just don't like organized religion." You know, whenever I hear such a comment, I realize that immediately that however sincere they may be, the person making those comments is not a very mature believer. Because if you are a believer, the Bible teaches that the church is designed for your benefit. In fact, the Bible teaches very clearly that you cannot become all God meant for you to be unless you commit yourself to membership in a Bible-believing local church. Now, in this tape, I'd like to show you what the Bible says about the importance of the church in your life. And specifically, we'll look at five practical questions. First, what is the church? Second, what is the purpose of the church? Then third, we're going to look at what is the difference between being a church member and a church attender? Fourth, we'll look at why should I become a member of the church? What are the benefits? And finally, what is expected of me as a member of a church? So let's get right on into our study. First, what is the church? Well, let me tell you what it's not. It's not a building. It's not a social club. It's not a religious organization. In fact, the church is such an important topic that there's no single term that describes all that it is. I've counted at least 90 different terms in the New Testament. Images and metaphors that describe what the church is. For instance, the Bible calls the church the bride of Christ in the book of Revelation. Also, the church is called the elect, the flock of God. It's called a holy nation. The church is called God's living temple and the people who belong to God. Now, each of these terms, for instance, is packed with significant meaning and insight. But because of the limitation of this tape, I want to just emphasize two of the many terms that describe what the church is in the New Testament. The first is this. The Bible says that the church is a family. And if you are a believer, you have a spiritual family. In fact, listen to this verse. Ephesians 2:19 in the Living Bible says, "Now you are no longer strangers to God and foreigners to heaven, but you are members of God's very own family, citizens of God's country. And, listen to this, you belong in God's household with every other Christian." That's Ephesians 2:19 from the Living Bible. Now notice that this verse teaches us two or three important truths. First, it teaches us that the church is a family. In fact, it says the church is God's very own family. It also says the church is God's household. Well, the fact is your spiritual family is going to last longer than your physical one. Your physical family may last as long as you live here on earth, but your spiritual family, the church, is going to last for eternity, and we're going to be related forever. Now, notice there are some families that are big, and there are some families that are small. There are some that are strong, and there are some that are weak. Same is true of churches. But size and strength have nothing to do whether a church is a family or not. Jesus said, "Where two or more are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them." So the church is a family. The second thing we get from this verse is that God expects us to be members of a church family. Notice he says, "You are a member and you belong in God's household." It's not optional. In fact, the Bible makes it very clear that it is God's will for your life to be tied in to other believers in a local body of believers, a church. And every Christian is expected to join together with some group of other believers. Now, you need to understand that the word church is used in two different ways in the New Testament. First, it's used in a universal sense, referring to your extended family of Christians. In other words, it refers to every believer in every country throughout all of history. The people of God who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit and have been baptized as evidence of their commitment to Christ all make up this universal church, regardless of where they live or what point in history that they lived. Now, you can't join the universal church. You have to be born again into it. Then there is the word church used in a local sense, and that's when the word is used in the Bible to refer to a specific group of believers. in a specific location. For instance, the Bible says the church at Jerusalem, the church in Antioch, the church in Ephesus, the church at Corinth. This word is even used to refer to smaller groups that meet in specific locations, like the Bible talks about the church that met at Priscilla and Aquila's house, or the church in Jason's home, or the church in Philemon's house, or Nympha's home. So this is what the word is used most of the time to represent in the New Testament. Not the universal sense, but the local family of believers. And what this means is that God only has one worldwide family, including every Christian, but he has many local families. And that's what the purpose of this tape is about, to talk to you about why it's important to join to a local church family. You see, if you're a genuine believer in Christ, you're already a part of the worldwide family of God. You became a part automatically when God put his Spirit into your life. You were automatically born into the family of God. But you don't automatically become a part of God's local family until you choose to join a specific church. Let me explain it like this. When you were born, you automatically became a part of the human race when you were physically born. You didn't have any choice. The moment you were born, you became a part of the human race. But you also have a local family, and that's because your parents made a choice to take you home from the hospital. There was a choice involved. There were some people who made a commitment. In the same way, when you were born again spiritually, you were automatically placed in the family of God that includes every believer who's ever lived. But you won't become a member of a local church family until you choose to make that commitment. And the Bible says you belong in the family of God. The third truth we learn from Ephesians 2:19 is that a Christian without a church family is really just an orphan. He says, you belong in the family of God. The person who says, I want to be a Christian without joining any specific church, is like the football player without a team. He says, I want to play in the NFL, but I don't want to serve on any specific team. Or the soldier who says, I want to fight in the war, but I don't want to have any unique platoon assignment to be connected to. I'll just kind of bounce around from one platoon to another. It's like a honeybee without a hive, or a tuba player without an orchestra. You need to be connected. And I need to tell you that the idea of being a Christian without being attached to any specific church family is a recent error. In fact, only in America do we have what I call floating believers that are unattached and uncommitted to any specific church. You see, but today, because of Christian radio, Christian television, bookstores, seminars, people can get their spiritual growth from many different places, and they often feel, I don't need a church family. But you know, if you were to go anywhere else in the world, you'd find that to be a Christian means to be a part of a local church family. In fact, in any other place in the world besides America, if you were to find a Christian not connected to a local church, that would be unheard of. Listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter 3, verse 8 from the Living Bible. He says, and now this word to all of you. You should be like one big, happy family, full of sympathy toward each other, loving one another with tender hearts and humble minds. And what he's saying here is that since the church is a family, we're to treat each other with sympathy and love and tender hearts. In other words, we're to treat each other like real brothers and sisters. 1 Timothy 5, verses 1 and 2 from the Phillips paraphrase says this, don't reprimand a senior member of the church. Appeal to him as a father. Treat the younger men as brothers and the older women as mothers. Treat the younger women as sisters. Now, what he's saying here is that we really are to act like a family, and that you need a church family, and that these relationships of spiritual brothers and sisters in Christ and fathers and mothers in Christ who've been believers longer than you, that God never intended for you to live the Christian life as a lone ranger. He intends for you to live it with the support of a church family. Now, there's another image that I think is important to understanding what the church is, and that is the Bible calls the church the body of Christ. In fact, this is the most used analogy in the New Testament. The church is a body, a living body. We are a body, not a business. We are a living organism, not an organization. Listen to these verses from Romans 12, verses 4 to 6 in the New International Version. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function? So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Did you get that? Each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. Now, this verse clearly teaches that the church is the body of Christ, the actual body of Christ. What Jesus did in the flesh when he was here physically 2,000 years ago, he now does through his spiritual body, the church. And he says each of us as members of the church are a part of that body. Some play the hands, some play the feet, the eyes, the ears, the nose, the heart, the lungs. Now, you know, when a body part is missing, we say that that body is handicapped. And today, many churches are handicapped because attenders have never joined in and aren't fulfilling their part in the body. It's kind of like this. Have you ever looked at a jigsaw puzzle that has one piece missing? What do you notice first? Well, of course, you notice the piece that's missing. And likewise, together, we interlock and form the body of Christ, all believers. And each of us have gifts and abilities that we are to use in Christ's body. For instance, your pastor has gifts in teaching and gifts in leadership. You know, if he doesn't use his gifts, other people in the body get cheated. On the other hand, you have gifts and abilities too. And if you don't use yours, everyone else in the body gets cheated. You're like the missing part in the jigsaw puzzle. Now, in the body of Christ, Jesus Christ himself is the head. And each of us are members of the part of the body, and we form vital parts, and we have different roles and different functions to fulfill. So if you never join a church, you'll miss out on this major aspect of your Christian life. Now, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27 in the Living Bible says this, "All of you together are the one body of Christ, and each one of you is a separate and necessary part of it." Notice the word necessary. Did you know that you're necessary, that you're needed in the church? Not only do you need the church as a family to support you, but the church needs you as a body. You see, when you understand that the church is not simply a religious meeting that you go to, but in fact it's the body of Christ, you'll understand why it's important to get plugged into a specific church and not bounce around from one week to another, from church to church, kind of what I call church shoppers and hoppers. You know, it's like this. Let's say that your place in the body of Christ is to be the heart of the body. Well, how effective would you be if every week you were transplanted into a different body? Like one week you say, well, I'm going to be the heart over at First Church. And next week you say, well, I'm going to be over the heart over at Faith Church. And the next week you say, well, I think I'll be the heart over at the community church. And the next week I'm going to go over and I'll be at the second church. Well, what happens is you're going to shrivel up and die. How long do you think you would stay healthy? A part disconnected from the body eventually shrivels. That's why it's important that we be connected and tuned in to the body of Christ. Now let's consider, what is the purpose of the church? The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 1, "Let there be real harmony among you, so there won't be any split in the church, but be united in thought and purpose." What are the purposes of the church? Well, we believe that the purposes of the church can be summarized in the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. In fact, we believe, we have a saying at our church, that a great commitment to the Great Commandment and the Great Commission will grow a great church. The great commandment is this. Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength." He said, and then, "Love your neighbor as yourself." He said, I summarize all the law and the prophets. The whole Old Testament can be summed up in two sentences. He said, this is Cliff Notes on the Old Testament. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Those are two of the purposes of the church. To love God with all our heart is worship. That's what worship is. Worship is simply expressing my love to God. Did you know that any time you express love to God, you're worshiping? And the Bible tells us that worship, we are to worship the Lord your God and serve him only. That's Matthew 4, verse 10. And so one of the purposes of the church is worship. Then it says we are to love your neighbor as yourself. You know what the Bible calls that? There's a word for it. It's the word ministry. Ministry simply means loving your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said that even when you give a cup of cold water in Jesus' name, that that's ministry, that it's meeting needs with love and healing hurts with love. And so two of the purposes of the church are to exalt Christ through worship and to encourage other people through ministry by loving God with all our heart and loving our neighbor as ourselves. That's the great commandment. Then the Great Commission, Jesus' final instructions to his disciples, he said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you." That's in Matthew 28. So we have the Great Commandment in Matthew 22, the Great Commission in Matthew 28. There are three words in the Great Commission that reveal the other three purposes of the church. Go make disciples. That's called evangelism. Then baptize them. That means bring them into the body of Christ. Baptism is the visible symbol that says, you're one of us. You've put on the uniform. You're part of our family. You're a true believer. It's an outward statement of an inward commitment. And so it means to incorporate people into the fellowship by baptizing them and saying, you're one of us. And then he says, teach them to do all things I've commanded you. And that's called discipleship. Now, from these two key scriptures in the New Testament, the Great Commandment and the Great Commission, there are five purposes of the church. Now, these, of course, mention many other places, but I'm just, for the brevity of this tape, taking these two verses. What is the purpose of the church? Let me just say it this way. Number one, it is to celebrate God's presence. That's what worship's all about. We're first and foremost to just love God with all our hearts. Then we not only celebrate God's presence, we demonstrate God's love. That's ministry. Love your neighbor as yourself. And God has given you gifts and talents and abilities so that you can serve and minister and heal the hurts and meet the needs of people around you. Jesus said, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be the servant of all. That means to have a servant's heart. And to serve and minister means to do the same thing. We celebrate God's presence through worship. We demonstrate God's love through ministry. Then we communicate God's words through evangelism. That's the third purpose of the church. The Bible says in Ephesians 3:10, his intent was that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known. And over in Romans 10, it says, anyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on them, ask them to save them if they don't believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard of him? And how can they hear about him unless somebody tells them? Well, one of the purposes of the church is to communicate that good news, to tell God's word to other people and share to be witnesses in the world. The fourth purpose of the church is to incorporate God's family into fellowship. We baptize them as the public symbol, and then the Bible says we're to love one another and care for one another and serve one another and greet one another. In fact, the phrase one another is used at least 48 times in the New Testament, referring to the mutual ministry of believers to each other. That's fellowship, caring and sharing and living together, supporting each other. You, as I said, you're not meant to go through the Christian life all by yourself. The fifth purpose is to educate God's people. And that's discipleship. Teach them to do all the things that I have commanded you, said Jesus. In other words, we're to help people to grow. We want to reach people, and then we want to teach people. Honestly, if you don't find your place in a local church, your spiritual growth will be limited in a major way. The Bible says that we're to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord, that we're to go on to maturity. And the Bible says in Ephesians 4 that God has given pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for work of ministry so that the body of Christ may be built up, so that we become mature like Christ. If you do not become a part of a church, then your road to maturity will be limited in a tremendous way. Now let's talk about what's the difference between being a member of a church and being an attender of a church. Well, I can summarize the difference in one word. It's the word commitment. The word commitment. You see, you become a Christian by committing yourself to Christ, but you become a church member by committing yourself to other Christians. You join the universal family of God by committing yourself to Christ, but you join a local family when you say, I'm going to be committed to these people. This is the kind of church where I think I can grow, where I can give and be given to, where I can share and be shared with, where I can love and be loved, serve and be served. And it's a commitment to other believers. It's saying, this is going to be my family. This is going to be my place where I serve in the body of Christ. You see, the distinction I'm trying to make is like the difference between living together and getting married. You know that there are many people today who simply live together without the commitment to marriage. Now, what that does is it simply reveals both selfishness and immaturity, because people who just want to live together and not make a commitment to marriage are afraid to make a commitment. Now, here's an important point that I want you to not forget. You will become whatever you commit yourself to. That's why you need to choose your commitments carefully. Whatever you commit to is what you'll become. Now, there's no real growth in the Christian life without commitment. And so part of your commitment is first commit to Christ, and then to take step two, and that is commit to be baptized, and then to take step three, and that is to commit to become a part of a local church family. Here's the difference between being an attender and a member. An attender is simply a spectator. Attenders are people who come to church and they watch others be involved. They sit back and they watch, but they don't really participate. They're spectators. However, a member is a participator. As a member, you don't just sit on the sidelines and cheer somebody else on. You now begin to use your talents and your gifts in the body of Christ. It means you choose to be involved. And let me say it another way. An attender is a consumer. A member is a contributor. An attender, as of a church, is someone who goes in and enjoys the worship services, they enjoy the programs, they enjoy the events. But when you choose to become a member, you receive, but you also choose to start giving back. And that is a mark of spiritual maturity. Now, the fourth question I want us to deal with is, why should I become a member of a church? Well, let me give you three or four reasons. Number one, because Christ loves the church. And because Jesus Christ loves the church, we should love the church too. In fact, Ephesians 5:25 says, Christ loved the church and he gave himself up for her. That's how important the church is. The Bible says that Jesus Christ died for the church. Now, if it's that important to Christ, then it better be important to us. Jesus didn't die for junk. He died for the church. And when I hear somebody say, I love Jesus, but I don't love the church, they're saying they don't love the very thing Jesus Christ died for. The Bible says that the church is the bride of Christ. What if I said to you, I love you, but I can't stand your wife. Or I love you, but I can't stand your husband. You'd be insulted by that. The church is Christ's wife. It's Christ's bride. And when we reject Christ's bride, the Bible says we are in essence rejecting him because we become one with Christ. The Bible, as we've already seen, is also called, says the church is the body of Christ. How about if you, those of you who are married, would say, I love you to your husband or to your wife, but I reject your body. Well, that wouldn't be very much love, would it? To say, I love Christ, but I reject Christ's body is just as much a contradiction. So we should be a member of the church because Jesus was committed to the church, and so we should too. The second reason is because Christ commanded it. Remember Jesus said over in John, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, one of his commandments is Romans 12, verse 10, which says, be devoted to one another in love. And that's what it means to be a member. It means I'm going to be devoted to this local expression of God's body and God's family. That's what membership's all about. Remember the verse we looked at the start? Ephesians 2:19, you belong in God's household with every other Christian. We should be members of God's family because Christ commands it. It's really pretty arrogant to say, I don't need what Jesus Christ says I need. Number three, we should join a church because commitment produces spiritual growth. I'm sure you'd agree with me that we live today in an age where very few people want to be committed to anything, a job or a marriage or a country. There's just a very reluctance, particularly among baby boomers, to reject any kind of commitment, especially if it's long-term. You know, when you choose to express commitment, whenever you do that today, it goes against the tide of our culture, and that builds character. Commitment always produces spiritual growth. In fact, the New Testament places a major emphasis on the need for Christians to be committed to each other in order to produce this kind of spiritual growth. As I said before, you know, there are at least 30 commands in the New Testament that you cannot obey unless you choose to be committed to a group of believers and a local family. The Bible says, be devoted to one another in love. How can you be devoted if the people don't know that you're devoted to them or you know who they are? The fourth reason for joining a local church is for spiritual protection. The Bible says that God has placed gifted leaders called pastors in the church to watch over you spiritually, to care for your spiritual needs, and to lead you in the paths of truth. In fact, the word pastor means shepherd or caretaker. As a pastor myself, it is my job to oversee the care of all the people God chooses to bring into our local church family called Saddleback. In fact, Hebrews 13:17 says this in the Living Bible. It says, obey your spiritual leaders and be willing to do what they say. And then listen to this, very important. For their work is to watch over your souls, and God will judge them on how well they do this. That's Hebrews 13:17 in the Living Bible. I'd have to be honest with you in saying that as a pastor, that verse scares me to death. Because the Bible says one day, if I'm a pastor, one day I will stand before God and give an account on how well I helped the people in our church family grow spiritually. That is a responsibility that I do not take lightly. And I know every other pastor I know does not take that lightly, because we know one day we'll stand before Jesus Christ and give an account of how well we protected the flock, the family, the body that He made us overseers in. There is a spiritual protection that comes by joining a church that you don't have any other way. You know, a lady once told me, she said, I don't need a church because I'm a member of the invisible church, obviously meaning the universal. She said, I'm just a part of the invisible church. I said, well, that's great. But when you get sick and you go to the hospital, who's going to visit you? The invisible pastor? You see, we want people with flesh and blood in our time of need. And this comes when you commit yourself to others through church membership. And then there's a fifth reason, and that's just a practical reason, that joining a church defines who can be counted on. You know, every team's got to have a roster, and every school's got to have an enrollment. Every business has a payroll. Every army has an enlistment. Even our country takes a census and requires voter registration. And so a membership simply defines who's in the church family. If I, for instance, as a pastor, am going to be held accountable for those who are in our church family, I want to know who those people are. I'm not accountable for the spiritual growth of attenders, but I am accountable for those who choose to become a part of our church family. Finally, let's wrap this up by talking a little bit about what's expected of me as a member of a local church. Well, you know, many churches have a church covenant, which describes what is expected of members in that particular church family. And as you visit churches, it would be good to ask for a church covenant and say, what is the covenant in this church? But the truth is, a good church only expects its members to do what the Bible clearly teaches every believer should do anyway. They don't ask more of you. They simply say, you're expected to do what the Bible says. So let me conclude this tape by summarizing what the Bible expects of you as a church member. And I'll do it in four simple statements. In other words, when I choose to commit myself to a specific church family, I'm making a commitment to do these four things. Number one, I commit to protecting the unity of my church. You do that by acting in love toward other members. You do that by refusing to gossip. You do that by following the leaders. Let me just read some verses to you related to the importance of unity and maintaining it in the church. The Bible says, let us concentrate on the things that make for harmony and on the growth of our fellowship together. That's Romans 15:19 in the Phillips. We're to work for harmony. The Bible says, live in complete harmony with each other, each with the attitude of Christ toward each other. We're to have sincere love for our fellow brothers, says 1 Peter 1:22. And the Bible says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. You know, the one thing that destroys churches faster than anything else is gossip. And when you choose to join a church, you're saying, I will not gossip. I will protect the unity of my church. A second commitment that you make when you commit to joining a church is this: I will share in the responsibility of my church by praying for its growth, by inviting unchurched people to attend, by warmly welcoming people who visit your church. You see, the difference between an attender and a member is that an attender is simply along for the ride, but a member becomes an actual crew member. The Bible tells us in Luke 14 that God wants us to go out into the country and urge anyone you find to come in so that my house will be full. The Bible tells us in Romans 15 we're to warmly welcome each other into the church. Just as Christ has warmly welcomed you, then God will be glorified. That's Romans 15:7 in the Living Bible. So you share the responsibility of your church once you choose to become a member of it. The responsibility for its growth, the responsibility for its health. Third, you commit to this: I will serve the ministry of my church by discovering gifts and talents, by being equipped by my pastors to serve, and by developing a servant's heart. The Bible says that each of you should not only look to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ, who took on the very nature of a servant. That's Philippians chapter 2, 3 and 4, and down in verse 7. 1 Peter 4:10 in the Philippians says, serve one another with the particular gifts that God has given you. And so the third thing you commit to when you join a church is that I will not only protect the unity and share the responsibility, but I'll serve the ministry of my church. Finally, a fourth commitment is that I will support the testimony of my church, because you now represent the church once you're a member. So you support the testimony of your church by attending faithfully, by giving regularly, and by living a godly life. The Bible tells us, let us not give up the habit of meeting together, but let us encourage one another. And so regular attendance is an important part. That's Hebrews 10:25. 1 Corinthians 16:2 tells us, each one of you on the first day of each week should set aside a specific sum of money in proportion to what you have earned and use it for the offering. And, of course, Leviticus 27, verse 30 says, a tenth of all you produce is the Lord's, and it's holy. And so we support the testimony of our church by attending, by giving, and then finally by living a godly life. Philippians 1:27, the Phillips says, whatever happens, make sure that your everyday life is worthy of the gospel. As you can see, choosing to become a member of a local church is not merely some formality or organizational ritual. In fact, it's actually an essential step in your personal spiritual development. Now, as I close this tape, I want to urge you to not delay finding a church home. You need a family where you can receive support, and you need to be a part of Christ's body where you can develop and use the gifts and abilities God's given you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for creating the church. Help us to love it the way Jesus does. And help each of us to find our niche where we can serve you in the ministry you've intended for each of us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, and thank you for taking time to listen to this tape.